This is New Media Beat on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Ryan Forte.
And I'm Chloe Cutting. Greetings from SUNY Old Westbury.
Hey, Chloe. What's on New Media Beat today?
Well, Ryan, we have 8 stories for you today. Starting with my report, I'm up first today. I'm going to tell you about how beauty brands are engaging customers in new ways with NFTs.
What's an NFT?
You're going to have to listen to my report to find out. After we talk about non-fungible tokens in the beauty biz, we are going to hear from John DeLiso about TikTok.
John is on a social media beat this week. He has a question. Do most Americans still support the TikTok ban? Will the ban ever be enforced? What will happen if support for the ban continues to drop?
After John DeLiso's TikTok update, Kat Espinal is going to report on Elon Musk's decision to make X a part of his AI company, XAI.
Are all the other rival social media platforms going to partner with AI companies? Are social media and AI merging? How will social media change when artificial intelligence is driving the bus?
After our XAI Eats X story from Kat Espinal, we are going to speak with Samantha Stock.
What is Samantha Stock bringing to the table this week?
Samantha will be reporting on AI for college students.
How are AI apps changing what college students do and how they do it? What are the most popular AI tools for coursework? Is this efficiency or is it cheating? Should you adopt or opt out of AI on campus?
Deborah Flammenbaum will explain the Signal scandal for New Media Beat. For the last 2 weeks, there has been a lot of controversial news about Signal, the encrypted messaging app. What is Signal? Why did it cause such a scandal for the Trump administration?
Should national security officials be using an app to chat about classified information when there are more secure government channels? Signal is encrypted, but does it mean is it a secure communications channel for top secret messages?
Mohamed Ducouré is our new media sports reporter. He has a story about the NBA using AI this week.
How are NBA teams using AI tools to create social media highlight reels? Will a lot more social media videos keep the fans happy? Can this surge of highlight videos on the social attract new fans?
We will have even more sports media news today from my co-host, Ryan. What are you covering today for New Media Beat?
This week, I'm talking about Yankee fans. Will they be able to watch Yankee games on cable this season? Will there be a blackout if Cablevision and the YES Network can't make a deal? Are there streaming options if there's a television blackout?
Our final segment of the show will come from Anthony Payance. Anthony is waiting to report about the impact of artificial intelligence on the future of journalism.
Should we be concerned about the AI-powered newsroom? Will it be news or misinformation? Will there be human journalists in the AI newsroom? Should we trust news generated by bots?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York, College at Old Westbury.
Hey, Chloe.
Hello, Ryan.
Chloe, you are here to deliver your own news report about how the beauty industry is using new digital tools. Marketers are always looking for new ways to engage customers. Your report is about NFTs. Let's start with the very basic question. What are NFTs, and how do they apply to the beauty industry?
So, let's start with the basics. NFTs are short for non-fungible tokens, and they're basically digital assets that live in the blockchain. And what makes them so special is that each of them is unique. So, unlike something like blockchain, for example, have you ever seen blockchain on Cash App? I know you've seen that before. Where every coin is the same as another, an NFT is one of a kind. And in the beauty world, that uniqueness is what makes NFTs really interesting. So brands have been using them to create things like digital collectibles, virtual beauty products, and even NFT-based loyalty programs. So think of it kind of like your favorite lipstick, but on the blockchain.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. How are beauty brands using NFTs to enhance customer engagement?
So some big names have already jumped in. Take NARS, for example. They launched an NFT artwork inspired by their famous orgasm blush. It was a limited edition digital art that fans could collect and buy. Then there's also Clinique, a skincare brand, who also really tapped into that exclusivity vibe of NFTs. They gave NFT holders VIP perks like early access to new product launches and invites to exclusive events.
What are the benefits and challenges of integrating NFTs in beauty marketing?
So one huge benefit is the exclusivity factor. Like I said, NFTs are very limited and unique, so they really hype up brand loyalty. People love to feel like they have something that no one else does. and the tech behind it, the blockchain, is great for transparency. So no more counterfeits, no shady reselling, no third resellers and things like that. It's secure and traceable.
Are NFTs a redefining ownership in the beauty space?
Another cool shift is how NFTs are changing the idea of ownership. So usually beauty products are physical, like something you can pop in and off, wear them, you toss the packaging. But now you can own a digital product and wear it in a virtual space. So think of it as like a beauty accessory for a Sims character in a way. It's super empowering for creators too. So independent beauty artists can sell their own digital designs directly to their audience without needing a huge brand behind them.
What is the future of NFTs in beauty? Is it a fad or a game changer?
Honestly, I think it's still early, but there's a lot of potential. If NFTs start offering real value, like personalized skincare routines or digital memberships or sustainable packaging alternatives, they can seriously stick around and have some longevity. But right now, it's a mix of hype and experimentation. But the way that tech is evolving, this could be a whole new beauty frontier. For New Media Beat, I'm Chloe Cutting. Back to you, Ryan.
John DeLiso is ready to talk about how Americans are feeling about this impending ban on TikTok. Is support for the ban declining? Hey, John, why does public opinion about the ban matter? Can it make a difference?
Thanks, Ryan. So public opinion about the ban matters for many reasons. TikTok, for a lot of people, is not just a social media app. It's a way of life and like a business for many. So getting rid of TikTok would significantly make all those people lose their income and, you know, their livelihoods. And it also adds a lot of political pressure on people. If many people oppose a ban, it will put pressure on lawmakers to maybe pull back on their stances on opposing TikTok.
What was the ban? What was behind the ban?
The ban on TikTok has been supported by Democrats and Republicans for many years. Former FBI Director Chris Wray has said that TikTok poses a national security risk. He also stated that, quote, the possibility that the Chinese government could use TikTok to control data collection on millions of users or control the recommendation algorithm, which could be used for influence operations. And also, members of Congress have also said that the Chinese government has a golden share in the app, meaning that the government has complete power over the platform. Many people are fearful that under the influence of the Chinese government, TikTok will be forced to give the data of its American users to the government. And state lawmakers have also cited the harmful influences that exist on the platform as other reasons that the app should be banned. California and Massachusetts have launched investigations into the app to uncover the negative effects that it has on children's mental health.
Why has support for a TikTok ban declined?
So the support for a TikTok ban has declined for many reasons. Many users feel that the risks of the Chinese government gathering data is not really a strong enough reason to support a ban. And support for the ban has declined among both Democrats and Republicans, although Republicans are a little bit more likely to support a ban than Democrats. And another reason for the declining support comes from fatigue. Many TikTok users have really moved on from the fact that TikTok might be banned. And because Trump has extended the deadline for a ban, it's not as much of a worry for its users.
Why do some people support a TikTok ban?
People support the TikTok ban for many reasons. Over 83% of those who support a ban feel that TikTok poses a data security risk. And other reasons that people support a ban is that they feel that there's too much misinformation spread on the app, and that people spend too much time on TikTok, and that there are concerns about TikTok being owned by a Chinese company.
Why do some oppose to it?
One reason people oppose the ban is that they feel it would restrict free speech, with over 74% of people citing that as a major reason that they oppose it. And other major reasons people feel people oppose the ban is that it provides users with useful information, entertainment, and it will hurt those who make money off of TikTok. And there isn't enough evidence suggesting that it is a threat to American users.
How has TikTok tried to change public opinion on the ban?
So recently, TikTok has been using many public relations strategies to try to portray TikTok as a platform that is used for good. TikTok has been running ads on Instagram and Facebook about a woman named Katie who was in need of a kidney transplant. and found a donor through TikTok. And TikTok has also featured ads that advocate for small businesses and how the app has helped grow these businesses. Prominent news newspaper organizations like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Post have featured full-page ads promoting the app in an attempt to support the app in opposition for the ban. And also, President Trump has changed course on TikTok. He previously was very in support of the ban. However, since it helped him connect to younger voters during the 2024 elections, he now supports the app.
What's next regarding the ban?
So now that the April 5th deadline has came and went, TikTok was able to evade the ban once again. President Trump has extended the deadline for the app to be sold for another 75 days. However, in response to Trump's tariffs against China, the Chinese government has hit pause on approving a deal to keep TikTok up and running unless negotiations are made regarding tariffs. So, although the future of TikTok in the U.S. still remains uncertain, users can now enjoy their short-form content without worry, at least for a little while longer. So, for New Media Beat, I'm John DeLiso. Back to you, Ryan.
Thank you, John. We will be right back with social media news. Will the big AI companies become social media platforms? Or will the social media platforms become AI companies? Elon Musk thinks it's time for AI and social to get married. Stay with us.
Let's talk social media with Kat Espinall. Hi, Kat. Is your report about social media or artificial intelligence?
It's about both. Because Elon Musk's AI company just acquired his social media company, X, this makes X a part of XAI. Social media companies seem to be rushing to integrate AI into their platforms.
Why did Musk turn his AI company into the parent company of his social media company? What potential benefits could the integration of XAI bring to the X platform?
Depending the way you use the app, or if you're a big user of AI, there's a couple of different benefits. He's trying to offer things like better content recommendation. So, like, you can ask the AI, like, what are better ways that you can get more likes or reposts on your little X posts. He's also trying to offer, like, automated customer service. I don't know if you've ever been, like, logged out of your Instagram or Twitter account, X account. And then you're trying to get help on, like, getting your account back. So he's trying to get, like, quicker service with AI. And just, like, more, like, user tools, like, better ways to use the app.
Okay. Are you a user of X yourself?
I mean, yeah, but not really. I'm more like Instagram and TikTok.
How might combining AI with social media change the user experience on X?
I mean, it honestly, like I said, it depends the way you use it. I'm not a big user of X, but I feel like if he added, like, some cool, like, AI stuff for it, maybe I'd try and, like, engage more with the app. Yeah, like, try and check it out more. If, like, you're a big fan of AI and you also happen to like X, I'd give it a try and see if, like, it's your cup of tea.
It might be good for content creators.
Yeah, literally.
Will the combination of X and XAI make social media more personalized or efficient?
Yeah, it probably would make it more efficient because you have more resources, like, available to you as far as, like, your account, the audience that you're trying to, you know, get, your likes, retweets, whatever. But maybe it could be also more personalized if you make, like, edits on your own, like, by using the AI, by, like, letting it enhance your account. So, honestly, I feel like it just depends the way you use it. For New Media B, I'm Kat Espinall. Back to you, Chloe.
Thanks, Kat. Up next, we have a visit from Samantha Stock, who is reporting on AI for college students. How are students using AI on campus? Is it encouraged, discouraged, even prohibited? Do AI apps help learners learn? Samantha, do you use AI apps to get your work done at Old Westbury?
So I feel like that's a tough question to ask because it's hard to know whether it's okay to use it when I have one professor telling me and encouraging me to use AI and then another professor telling us that we'll fail if we use it. I use it all the time to study, and I use different apps to help me organize my studying tools. But again, when it comes to turning in assignments, it really depends on the professor and their policy.
How do you think AI could improve education and learning?
AI has the capability to improve education and learning for a lot of different reasons. To start, it can customize different educational content to fit the needs of each student, because as we know, all children learn differently. With the way AI examines their strengths, weaknesses, and learning styles, it's able to offer personalized lessons and resources that will help each student learn more efficiently.
That sounds pretty impactful to me. What AI tools can have a positive impact on college students' learning?
There are tons of different tools that can have a positive impact on their learning. To start, there are intelligent tutoring systems which give instructions and feedback to students based on their learning style. Examples of these are Carnegie Learning and Newton. There are also apps which help students in general with studying and staying on track in college. There are AI-powered study tools and apps like Quizlet, which give students detailed study plans and practice tests based on where a student might be having trouble in. The other day, I actually scrolled past a TikTok of a teacher getting upset with a student because she had her phone out during his lecture. The student quickly replied to the teacher, "What value am I getting out of this? You're reading right off of your slides that were already posted." The teacher then replied to the student and said, "You're listening to my voice." The student then points to her phone and says, "It's listening for me. I have your whole lecture recorded in here with your textbook, with literally all the slides that you feed us. It makes me many detailed notes, flashcards automatically generated." Although the student may have been rude and could have went about it a different way, she did make a point. AI makes it a lot easier for us college students to prep for studying. The app the girl in this video was talking about is called MindGrasp. There are virtual AI assistants and chatbots all over different platforms that are available at any time to help you with anything school or work related. As long as it's used properly, these apps can have a huge difference in the way us and future students both learn.
Thank you, Samantha. I didn't know about some of those tools, so I definitely will be taking note for myself. Do you know of any success stories about schools using AI to improve student outcomes?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. There are several success stories of schools and educators that have used AI to improve student outcomes. Many schools have started using Carnegie Learning's AI-driven math tutoring software. There are studies that show that students' grades have improved after using Carnegie Learning software. Not only do the students just do better on tests, but they're learning and comprehending so much more. They get a profound insight of mathematical concepts compared to when using traditional methods. Duolingo is another app that's used in classrooms a lot now. Teachers have seen improvements in language proficiency and an increase in student engagement. According to a survey posted about Duolingo, 96% of educators reported that Duolingo helps students learn a language faster.
That's really cool. What do you see for the future of AI in universities?
I see a lot for the future of AI in education and universities. Like we just spoke about, I see a lot more personalized learning, more tutoring systems, and more language translation and help with learning. Besides that, personally, I think it will make faster prep time for studying for students, especially us in college, while teaching us more in the process. There is an endless amount of things that AI can help us students with already, and it's only going to advance more in the future. For New Media Beat, I'm Samantha Stock. Back to you, Chloe.
Thank you, Samantha. We will return with a report about Signal, the encrypted messaging app that has caused such a fuss recently. Can Signal keep your secrets, even your top secrets, even if Russian intelligence wants to know? Stay tuned for our Signal Explainer with Deborah Flammenbaum.
Let's talk about Signal with Deborah Flammenbaum. The encrypted messaging app has made a lot of sensational headlines recently. Why? But before we get to why, what do we need to know about Signal so that way we can understand the conflict over the Trump administration officials using Signal to share secret information about war plans? Deborah Flammenbaum is here to explain. Deborah, what is Signal?
The Signal app is a communication app where users can send messages to each other that are encrypted. Both people who need to use the app have to download the app, and the messages are deleted after 30 days. It is an app that is downloaded on phones. It was invented in 2014 and has been used for many years. The Signal app was made to be used to share information in a confidential way. The app is mainly used by journalists who are trying to protect whistleblowers and witnesses. Law enforcement would also use Signal app to keep witnesses safe. It was meant so that people could get information from different countries and different states from one person to another. In order to use it, a person needs to type in their username and password and be able to interact with the other person. Each user also gets an encryption key. Some messages are encrypted and other people aren't able to read it.
What controversial information was discussed on Signal?
The confidential information that was discussed on Signal was the air strikes on the Houthis in Yemen.
How did this event become a part of the cultural lexicon?
The media reported on the event by speculating on the content on the Signal post. The multimedia panel discussions about Donald Trump's cabinet using the Signal app on the news really gained the attention of the nation, to the point that SNL incorporated the use of the Signal app by Donald Trump's cabinet members into a skit.
Thank you, Deborah. It's time to talk about sports media with Mohamed Ducouré. Mohamed is here to discuss how the NBA is using new media tools to attract and engage fans. This is also an AI news story because the NBA is using AI tools to create social media content. Mohamed, what's new about the way NBA teams are creating content for social media?
NBA teams are using AI to make media content much faster. With AI software, teams can receive clips from everything that happens in the game and make use of it as quick as possible.
What is WSC Sports, and how many NBA teams do they work with?
WSC Sports is a tech company with a focus on sports and how they can implement it into games. This company is behind AVGen, short for Automatic Video Generator, which is the AI software that teams have been using to make content. All 30 NBA teams have a license to use AVGen, spanning as far back as 2015, with old NBA commissioner David Stern being a big investor in WSC Sports.
How does the AI software create these highlights?
By training the AI software, AVGen can analyze a basketball game and clip many notable instances from blocks to clutch shots in real time. It adds a tag and can publish the clip just seconds after it happens in the game.
Has AI taken sports media jobs from humans?
There has been no indication that AI has taken sports media jobs from humans, and in fact, it has made the job for those in sports media easier. With less time being spent searching for clips and editing them, AVGen creating these clips automatically at a rate that no person could helps them overall. With this, people can simply add their own captions and they are good to go.
Are there any other notable organizations that are utilizing this technology?
WSC has many clients from many sports leagues, including the NHL, NASCAR, cricket, La Liga Soccer, and many more. With all these different sports that couldn't be more different, all utilizing the same tech company to provide content, it only emphasizes how essential WSC Sports will be to the future of sports media.
Thank you, Mohamed. Hey, baseball fans, we have baseball media news for you today from our sports reporter, Ryan Forte. Hey, wait, that's me. I'm up next for Yankee fans about watching the games this season. How can you watch the Yankees play? Will the Yankee games be on cable TV this season? Is there a disagreement about who will be broadcasting the games this year? I will be right back to tell you all about it.
Co-host is a baseball fan, and the opening day for the Yankees this year was Thursday, March 27th at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees demolished the Milwaukee Brewers. The game was broadcasted on ESPN. Ryan, did you watch the Yankees beat the Brewers? How many home runs did the Yankees hit on the opening day this year?
So I got to watch the Yankees opening day game at home this year with some family and friends, and it was definitely a good environment to be around because they're all Yankees fans. The Yankees hit a total of 9 home runs against the Milwaukee Brewers in just opening day, including 3 in the first inning, and that's a record breaking for the all-time Yankees. So it's in lines with Joe DiMaggio, even Babe Ruth. And as opening day has passed, Yankee fans might find themselves shut out, depending on how they watch. A brewing contract dispute between Comcast's and Xfinity cable service and the YES Network could result in a blackout for fans who rely on traditional TV highlighting the growing tension between legacy cable providers and emerging streaming platforms. As fans look for alternatives, some are turning to streaming platforms like the Gotham Sports app, which offers the YES Network content for $24.99 per month. While not affiliated with Comcast, it gives the viewers another option to keep up with the Yankees and other local teams. For those who already have cut the cord or are considering it, apps like the Gotham Sports app represent a growing shift in how sports content is consumed, anywhere, anytime, and often without a traditional cable subscription. Most fans in the New York and New Jersey region have historically watched Yankees games through the Comcast Xfinity service, which carries the YES Network. But with more fans migrating to streaming apps for flexibility and cost savings, the battle of viewership has intensified. The temporary agreement between Comcast and YES is set to expire late Thursday night, which was opening day, and if a new deal isn't reached, the YES Network could disappear from Comcast's channel lineup, impacting thousands in New Jersey, Philadelphia, and parts of New York's Hudson Valley. The root of dispute dates back to last year when the original contract expired. Comcast is pushing to move the YES Network to a pricier digital tier, a move YES opposes. The network approves that limiting access will not only shrink its audience, but also harm advertising revenue and loyal fans. YES also broadcasts Brooklyn Nets games, adding to the goal for local sports followers. A similar shift occurred in Boston last year when NESN was moved to higher tier package. According to the Boston Globe, Comcast customers saw their bills rise by around $20 a month if they opted in, while those who didn't weren't given a $13 credit instead. In response to the looming blackout, New York Governor Kathy Hochul has urged both parties to continue negotiating in good faith. Warning against punishing fans for a business standoff, New Jersey State Senator Paul Sarlo echoed the Steinman, calling the potential price hike an unfair burden on loyal middle-class sports fans. Despite the uncertainty, YES, the YES Network has publicly stated it does not plan to cut off its signal and remains hopeful Comcast will maintain access. For now, Thursday's season's opener against the Milwaukee's was safe. It will all air on national ESPN, but for future games, especially those exclusive to YES, are in jeopardy to Xfinity subscribers.
Thank you, Ryan. Our next report is about journalism, about artificial intelligence and journalism. Journalists are worried about the impact of AI on journalism. Will AI be a journalist job killer? Could AI be a superpower for reporters? Will AI newsrooms make news we can trust or generate a lot of slop, a lot of misinformation? Let's talk to Anthony Payams about this. Anthony, what drew you to this question initially?
Well, I picked this topic because I'm on the journalism side of media and communications. So with AI up and coming, my journalism future is looking a bit shaky. And I wanted to do some research to see if AI is taking over to the point where I should maybe start looking for something else to do.
What are some potential risks AI poses to journalism?
AI in journalism poses many risks, especially with misinformation and bias. AI tools like ChatGPT and DALL-E generate content that looks real but is actually made up. So if AI isn't managed properly, it can spread fake news without anyone realizing.
Yeah, that's really important. Integrity is a big part of journalism. Why is transparency important in the use of AI in newsrooms, and how could a lack of transparency impact public trust in the media?
Transparency is crucial when using AI in newsrooms because it helps the public understand how news is being produced, and it ensures they know when AI is involved in creating content. If people don't know when AI is being used, they might start to question whether the information is reliable or not. A lack of transparency can make audiences feel like the media is hiding something or manipulating the news, which can lead to a loss of trust in the entire news process.
How can AI contribute to the spread of fake news, and what measures should be taken to prevent this?
AI can contribute to the spread of fake news because it can create content like articles, images, and videos that aren't fully true or real. To prevent this, you need to have a strong fact-checking process in place, and when AI is being used, it should be closely monitored by humans to ensure accuracy. For New Media Beat, I'm Anthony Payams. Back to you, Chloe.
Thank you, Anthony. Guess what? That's all for this week.
Thanks for listening to me, Chloe.
Thanks, Ryan. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat this week. New Media Beat is co-produced by Jeannie Nunez, Henry Wilson, and John DeLiso. Our engineer is Jaden Nunez. My co-host is Chloe Cutting.
Today, we heard reports from Chloe Cutting, myself, John DeLiso, Muhammad Ducouré, Kat Espinall, Deborah Flamenbaum, Ryan Forte, Anthony Payams, and Samantha Stock.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media Communications Department here at the State University of New York at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at newmediabeat.org.
No, 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 no,